are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is a distinctly biblical, ever-multiplying, economically and ethnically diverse covenantal community calling Acadiana to follow all of Christ in all of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
So turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And we're going to be going through Ephesians for quite a while now, quite a while up through this year at least. And, you know, I want to say that these words in Ephesians, these very words that we're about to read and study, have been used to change the hearts of millions of people going all the way back 2,000 years ago. Generations after generations of people have had their hearts and their lives changed by the words in this book, and we have access to it, and we're studying those words. You know, these words have the power to capture your heart this morning, and I pray it does. These words have the power to captivate your imagination, and as a result of capturing your imagination, your imagination with this word in it will begin to control your life. It controls you. It drives you. These words can move your heart so much that you'll begin to become less captivated by the things of this world and more captivated by the things in heavenly places. This morning, it would serve all of us well as we read to focus on the many blessings that we receive from God through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what I want you to focus on this morning. Focus on his blessings as we read them, as we unfold them, as we unpack them one by one. Let's focus on these as blessings. Let's begin to put our minds in that gear as we read Ephesians chapter 1. So let's go ahead and look at Ephesians. Let's start at verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is where I really want us to pay attention this morning. It says, who has blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we're going to stop right there for now. You know, several years ago, the LA Times reported a story of an elderly man and his wife who were found dead in their apartment. An autopsy showed that both of these, this elderly man and his wife, died of severe malnutrition. They starved to death, essentially. And as the investigators looked around the apartment, they found $40,000 in paper bags in the closet of their apartment. $40,000. Wow. All of that wealth, and they starved to death. I mean, $40,000 can buy you quite a few meals, right? A lot of meals. It's a shame, right, to die of starvation when you have those type of resources in your possession. Here's another story. Who in here has heard of a lady named Hetty Green? You've heard of Hetty Green? She was called America's greatest cheapskate. America's greatest cheapskate. And when she died in 1916, she left an estate valued at $100 million. I mean, $100 million is a lot of money today, but imagine what it was 100 years ago in 1916. I mean, that's like having a few billion dollars today. And that's how much money she had. But she was so stingy that when she would cook oatmeal in the morning, well, she wouldn't even cook it. She would just put it in cold water because she didn't want to pay the expense of actually heating up the water to make the oatmeal. And cold oatmeal is nasty, especially when when you have $100 million at your disposal, you can afford to turn the stove on and heat up the water, right? And she also, when her son injured his leg, he had a real bad accident, and his leg began to, actually his leg had to be amputated because she took so long in trying to find a free clinic to treat her son that her son lost his leg. I mean, and it's also been said about her that she actually hastened her own death by bringing on a fit of apoplexy while arguing the merits of skim milk over whole milk because it's cheaper. I mean, all of that wealth, all of that in her possession, yet she's starving to death, and her son is lost a leg because she didn't want to spend a few measly dollars to get him treated. And the reason I tell you those stories is because Christians and the book of Ephesians is a lot like that elderly couple in Hetty Green. You know, the book of Ephesians is written to Christians who might be prone to treat their spiritual resources just like that couple did, or Hetty Green. You know, because we as believers, we are in danger of suffering from spiritual malnutrition. I believe that's a huge and serious problem for Christians this day and age. We're malnourished. We're malnourished, and we don't take advantage of this great storehouse of resources and this great storehouse of spiritual nourishment that is at our disposal. Amen? And we're going to be unpacking in Ephesians what that spiritual storehouse is, what we actually possess in Christ. Because if you're a believer, you already possess it. You already possess it. Look at verse 3 with me. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Paul is saying that God has blessed us, right? Us. But who is us? Well, the us whom God has blessed is referring to believers, right? It says the saints in Christ Jesus that Paul addresses here in verse 1. In his incredible grace, in his wonderful providence, and in his sovereign plan, God has chosen to bless us. God has eternally intended that those who are of faith are blessed. Amen? That should get us excited a little bit. That should be a half smile on our face to know that before all eternity passed, his children, believers in Christ, he has chosen and intended to bless. It's a big deal. I mean, think about this for a second. When we bless God, what do we do? What's the only way we can really bless God? The only way we can really bless God is to speak well of him, right? To praise him, right? So when we bless God, we speak well of him. And when God blesses us, he communicates good or transfers good towards us. So in essence, we bless him with words. He blesses us with deeds, right? You see, all we can do is speak well of him and praise him. Because really, in ourselves, we have nothing good to give him. I mean, what good do we have to give him that isn't already his, right? So every good thing that we give God is his. But when he blesses us, the situation's turned around. It's reversed, right? Because we don't have, lavishes us with every goodness, every good gift, and every blessing. It comes from him because that is who he is. He is good. He is good. And that's how he blesses us. And so, Since no goodness can come from us that hasn't already come from him, all we can do to bless God is to praise him and to speak well of him for his goodness. And that, my friends, is acceptable worship. Amen? That's acceptable worship. He's good to us. Amen? He's good to us. Well, how exactly is he good to us? What specific good does he give to us? Well, it says here that our Heavenly Father blesses us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Not just some spiritual blessings, not one or two spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessing. Every kind of blessing that you can think of that God has given to his people already. If you're a believer in here, you already possess those blessings. Amen? I mean, think about it. We Christians, we have a fortune. It's like we have $100 million in the bank. Really? Spiritually, we do, right? But we don't live like that. We don't live as if we have every spiritual blessing. We don't take advantage and actually use that spiritual blessing in the context of our lives, right? You know? We end up living just like that elderly couple that I talked about. $40,000 in the bank, starving to death. And how often do we ask for blessings when it says here that he has already given them to us? You know, we think about this. We pray. How many of you have prayed for more love one to another? You know, I really want to love that person. Lord, give me love for that person. Well, guess what? According to this, he already has. He's given you love, right? Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have that love. We pray for peace, right? Even though Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. John 14:27. We pray for happiness and we pray for joy. Even though Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. John 15:11. We ask God for strength, even though his word tells us that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Guys, we have these possessions already. God didn't just promise us every spiritual blessing. He has already given them to us. Amen? Every Christian has what Paul calls the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We already possess them. So we need not to receive something more, but we need to actually do something with what we already have. Amen? Look at verse 3 with me. We've been given every spiritual blessing, right? And Paul gives us where these spiritual blessings are located. Where are they located? In the heavenly places. Now, translating and understanding what this is all about has been proven to be very difficult for me. Because in Ephesians, this is the only place where heavenly places is mentioned throughout the entire New Testament. It's just in Ephesians. So it's been a challenge for me, a fun challenge. It's been a challenge for our pastoral team as well, weeding through this and trying to understand what Paul means by heavenly places here. And from what we can see, from what I can see, that obviously this is no physical realm that is seen with our physical eyes, right? But at the same time, I don't want you to think that just heaven is implied here. I think it's more than heaven that's implied with this statement. So really, the heavenly places, said in one sentence, the heavenly places encompasses the entire supernatural realm of God. Now, I don't want you to lose me here. So stay with me. You know, the entire realm of God's dominion. That's what the heavenly places is. It basically his domain, the full scope of his kingdom and his operation. You know, this is sort of a parallel spiritual reality known only by faith. How many of you have read The Chronicles of Narnia or seen the movie or whatever. Yeah, a lot of us have. Well, think of it kind of like that, that the heavenly places is kind of like Narnia. It's a heavenly, or it's a parallel realm that's happening outside of the bounds of this world. But on the timeline, they're going together, and there seems to be connections and parallel things that are happening. Now, granted, that's a very weak analogy, but that's the best I can do to try to get it to some terms we can understand. So, you know, this parallel realm is not something we can see with our eyes in this room or anywhere, but we know it's going on all around us. This realm, this parallel realm, is going on all around us, and we know it exists because, first of all, the Bible tells us it exists and gives mention of it, but also the eyes of our hearts, to those who believe, the eyes of our hearts are open to see glimpses of this parallel reality. You know, you heard of the principalities and demons and all of these things. That's what's going on here. We know they exist. We may have even had times in our lives when we may have sensed their presence or what have you. But at the same time, we can't see it with our eyes. So I believe that's where Paul is getting to here with the heavenly places, right? And now that we are Christians, we're believers, we now have not just an existence and a citizenship here on earth, but now we suddenly have a citizenship in these heavenly places as well. It's kind of like a dual citizenship, right? And while we're here, we're citizens of the earth. But in Christ, our primary citizenship and much, much more important citizenship is in this parallel existence. These heavenly places, if you will. And in these heavenly places and in this place, Christ is our King. And we are citizens of his realm. And because we are citizens of God's dominion, unlike the citizens of this world, unlike the sons of darkness with no heavenly citizenship, because we are citizens of his dominion, we are able to understand the supernatural things of God. We have that ability. Our eyes have been opened to see those things, these things that the natural man does not accept and can't understand because they are only spiritually understood. We have that. Think about it like this. Think about it. When an American citizen travels to another country, he is every bit an American citizen as he is when he's in the United States, right? Yeah, that doesn't change. Whether he's in Africa, whether he's in Europe, whether he's in Antarctica, wherever, he is still an American citizen with all of the rights and the privileges that citizenship holds, right? And similar to that, the Christians who are citizens of God's heavenly dominion and his kingdom, we hold all of the rights and privileges that citizenship grants us, even while we are living in this foreign and sometimes hostile world. You see, our true life, guys, is in the supernatural. That's where our true life is. Our true life is in the heavenly places. God the Father is there. Jesus, our Savior, is there. Our family and loved ones are there. Our name is there. And our eternal dwelling place and our thrones are there. But as we know, we're trapped for now. We're trapped in the tension between the earthly and the heavenly. And I think Paul understood this tension when he said, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything." You see, if you're a Christian this morning, you are a citizen of the heavenly places. And you have within your possession every spiritual blessing. all that we could ever want, all that we could need or imagine to live that God intends for us to live, all of his power is at our disposal. All of the grace, all of the strength, all of the love, all of the hope. See, we have all of the resources to deal with the struggles in this foreign land. Amen? Now, I know you've heard this before, but just take time to understand this. Begin to see and to grasp this truth. Let this truth minister to your anxieties in your life. Let this truth minister to all of the fear in your life. Because this affects every area in which we live, right? I mean, how many of us pray for more love? How many of us, I do. I used to all the time, but I'm realizing I already have all of the love that I can have in Christ. But how do I tap into that? How do I tap? That's what we need to know this morning. How do we tap into this? But before we do that, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. Before we do that, I want to cover just a few of these many blessings that are in the heavenly places. Like, what kind of blessings or has God given us? And of course, we're going to find this out throughout the course of this entire year. That's what the entire book of Ephesians is all about. The rest of this year, we're going to be looking at blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing and how all of these blessings apply to our lives. Because Ephesians, frankly, is filled with them all over the place, on every page. But for the sake of time this morning, just to start us off, let's look at a little group of them starting in verse 4. Ephesians 1:4. Even as he chose us in him, there's a blessing, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us, there's another blessing, for adoption to himself, there's another blessing, as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption, there's another blessing, through his blood, and the forgiveness, another blessing, of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And look at verse 8, which he not gave in little drops, not gave in little spurts every now and then. What does this say? He lavished them upon us in all wisdom and insight. You see, and we can go on and on about these blessings, and we will go on this year. But Ephesians is jam-packed with these blessings. And guess what? They are all ours. They're all ours. That's amazing. He has given us every spiritual blessing. And look, you may be looking at verses 4 through 8. You read them, and look, you may already have them compartmentalized in your mind as intellectual doctrines. And you know, that's fine and dandy, but these were written to be more than just theological trivia facts. They're more than just systematic theology of how God works. They're more than that. They're blessings. Major blessings. Now, the question I want to answer is how do we get these intellectual facts, how do they become blessings to us? How do we get them from being intellectual facts to becoming blessings? Well, it only happens when you see them, like we're seeing it now. It only happens when you grasp it, when you take hold of it in faith, you get them, and then you believe them. You stake your entire life on these blessings. And you know what? I think a lot of us think we believe these things. But really, you don't believe it until it becomes a strength to you. You don't believe it until it becomes a source of power to you. You don't believe it until it becomes a blessing in the heavenly realm not just to keep and hold on to and say, oh, that's great, I know a little bit more about the Bible now. No, it's not that. This becomes real to you. This becomes a blessing to you whenever you begin to engage, use these blessings to engage in the battle against sin and Satan and our anxieties and our fears about this life. It only happens when we trust and we stake our very lives on these blessings and put our full trust on the one through whom these blessings come. That's the only way they become intellectual facts to blessings. And we can only see these blessings as we grasp them and we get them through faith. That's it. That's it. It only happens through faith. For example, we are going to study the fact that God chose us. We're going to. But here's an example of how this becomes a blessing. We know it, but that means even when I'm rejected in this world, this is how it becomes a blessing. Even when I'm rejected in this world, and I may be tempted to sorrow and despair because of my rejection, and I may have anxiety, and I may be towards those who reject me. I have all of that, but if I understand this as a blessing, I can have power in a deeper truth, a deeper world that comes from the fact that even though the world rejects me, God does not reject me. In fact, while I was his enemy, he chose me. How many of us deal with rejection in our lives? How many of us have dealt with rejection our entire lives, even by those closest to us? Well, we can take comfort in this. That while I rejected God, he didn't reject me. All the way from before the foundation of the world, while I was yet his enemy, he chose me and did not reject me. Do you think that's going to change the way you live your life, understanding that truth? You better believe it. That's going to change your whole outlook on life. Others may even reject me while I'm trying to help them. How many of that, has that happened to you? You try to help people and they still reject you. That's okay though, because God didn't reject me when I was his enemy, when I was hostile towards him, right? See, that one fact, being chosen, that blessing gives me strength and it gives me power. And it gives me a drive to keep pressing on to what God has called me to do. It's because of that. This blessing gives me the power to love people when I'm hated by them. That's what I need to live the life I'm called to live. That's how to live a life of humility and boldness that can stand strong even in the face of rejection. See, I'm tapped into a different power due to these blessings. And that's just one. How many blessings did I name just in those few verses? At least 5 or 6. That was one. You see, are you beginning to see the immeasurable riches we have in Christ? We just got a quick glimpse of it. Guys, that's why I'm so excited about this book. I'm so excited about God's word. Because we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the riches and blessings he's given to us. And look, you may be thinking this morning, I certainly don't sense that I have these blessings. I mean, life definitely, I definitely don't feel like I'm rich by any stretch of the imagination, either financially and spiritually. Yeah, I've been there too. And you may be asking, how do I get these blessings given to me? And let me remind you again of what I said earlier and what Paul says. You already have them. You already have them. But I'll say this, he isn't talking to everyone here, right? He doesn't mean that the whole world has these blessings. Who already possesses the blessings? Look at verse 1. Look at who he's writing to. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to who? To the saints. who are in the saints have it, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Those are the ones that have the possession. The world doesn't have them. As much as the world will tell you they have them, as much as other churches will tell you that everyone has the blessings of God. No, they do not. Not these blessings. They may have some common grace blessings. You know, the sun shines on them just like it shines on us. That is a blessing. That's grace. But at the same time, they're not tapped into the blessings that us as believers are tapped into. We're in a whole new level of grace. Things. Amen? It's the saints who have them. It's the faithful who have them in Christ Jesus. You see, God the Father has only blessed us through Christ. The blessings flow through him and to us, to all of those who are united to him, like a to a head, right? We and all believers are connected to the head. And he, the head, he is the dispenser of God's grace and power. And all of those who are connected to the head by faith have the blessings flowing in them and through them, just like our blood flows through our bodies. And I got to say this, because some people get this confused. Let's get this straight. Jesus Christ is not a force to be one with. Quick Star Wars reference. I've heard people say that, oh, okay, so I just need to be one with the force, and then I have all the blessings. No, that's not it at all. He is not a force to be one with. Jesus is a person that we are to be united to. That's different than being one with. Christ is the person that we are to be married to, so to speak. Those of us who are married. We're not going to say that you and your husband or you and your wife are all the same. You're still distinct. You're still a person. You're still different from that other person, but you are united, right? We're married to Christ in a way. And of course, we know in a marriage, and if you don't know this, single folks, I'm going to teach you something right now. In marriage, whatever your spouse has, whatever possessions your spouse has, is now yours. Keep that in mind, single folk. But in Jesus, it's the same thing. Once we're united to him, once we're married to him, so to speak, all of his possessions, the every spiritual blessings here that's mentioned, is now ours through covenant. Through oneness, through being united with him. Every spiritual blessing is ours. So what does that mean? So basically all of Christ's riches, all the riches that he possesses. I mean, do we understand how supreme and how much of a king Jesus Christ is? He owns it all, guys. He is supreme. He is ruler over all. God the Father has given him all authority and power and all the riches of this world and in the heavenly places and every other realm that we can think of, and some that we haven't thought of yet. That means Christ, all of Christ's riches are what? They're now our riches because we're in Christ. All his resources are now our resources because we're in Christ. His righteousness is now our righteousness because we're in Christ. His power is our power. His position is our position. Where he is, we are. His possessions are our possessions now. What he has, we have. His is our practice. That means what he does, we do. We are those things, and we have those things, and we do those things by the grace of God, which never fails to work his will in us who trust him. We have spiritual blessings. And this morning, to yourself, I don't know if I'm connected to Christ. I don't know if I'm united to Christ. Because my, you know, whatever I sense as a union with Christ, it certainly isn't describing what you're saying. You may be thinking that this morning. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm connected. I don't know if I'm even in Christ. How do I know? How do I connect to him? And look, if you're not sure you're a Christian and you want to know for sure, we don't have to look far for this answer. Look down the page at Ephesians 1. Look at verse 13. It says, in him you also, when you did what? Heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, and did what? Believed in him. You heard the word. You heard the gospel. You have an understanding of the gospel. And you believe and stake your life on the gospel. Whenever you do all of those things, what happens? Let's look down the verse. You are immediately sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. See, that's where our lies there in verse 13. When you hear the word of truth, when you hear the gospel of your salvation, if you believe and understand the person and work of Jesus Christ, what he did when he came down to this earth and lived his life, a sinless life, and when he subjected himself to suffering and torture and pain and death on the cross, as a substitution for our sinful lives. When we understand that, in some understanding, whenever we begin to get that, and we believe that, and we believe the promise that if we call on his name with a genuine heart, actually seeing the depth of our sin and seeing how much we fall short of glory, and then trusting in the Savior, when we do that, immediately, the Holy Spirit seals us. We're sealed with his promise. And that seal, if you guys know anything about the context of that, basically back then, whenever a king or a dignitary writes a letter and sends it to another dignitary, well, in order to know that it's from him and it's backed up by his authority, he'll put some wax on that letter. And he'll have a crest that's shaped, and he'll imprint his crest on that wax. And when that other dignitary or whoever he's writing to sees that, he knows that that letter is backed entirely by that king's authority. That's what he's done for us when we believe. It's as if God is putting his seal on our lives by giving us the earned first payment of the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God living and working in your life. If you hate sin, if you long to know Jesus better, if you love Jesus with any depth of love in your heart for him, I want to assure you that you are saved. If you believe him, if you believe in the truth, we get that assurance. And look, it's impossible to unpack this completely this morning, so I'm not even going to try to. But I hope and pray as we go through the book of Ephesians this year that you would find yourself believing more and more and more of him. And maybe for some of you, maybe it'll be the first time. I don't know. And then as you believe by faith, you would come to receive all the blessings that are in your possession in the heavenlies. We have them. We possess them already. Let's take a survey this year of what we possess and how to use it and how it affects and applies to our lives and how it applies to give God utmost glory.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christchurch. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.